You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. Packers Talk.
I mean, Alvin Kamara is in an Aaron Jones type of pedigree, caliber, whatever you want to call it. He's really good. He's good in both the run and in the pass. And I think defending him might be a challenge for the Packers.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
So let's go out there with that ass.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers rolling deep on second and two. He's got a leap in Devontae Adams.
He's the best.
Defense is going to give a lot of teams struggles. We got a defense. Once again, we got a defense.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back with another episode of Cheesehead Radio, now in our 11th season. Your trio of hosts tonight are the sublime Kelly Hodgson, That Packer Girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the astounding C.D. Angeli, TundraVision on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Also joining us tonight is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JS Online, and PackersNews.com Packers media reporter, Olivia Reiner. We're looking forward to speaking with her a little later in the show, but for now, let's get to the Packer playbook.
The playbook.
All right, Packer Nation. Green Bay Packers 2-0 with two big wins over division rivals in the past two games. You can't ask for a better start, can you guys?
Well, they could have won by 40 points each game, if we're being picky, but we'll take what we got, I think.
Yeah, 40 points scored, that was not a bad thing, Al.
No, I was talking margin of victory, but that's okay.
Hey, I'm always willing to give a little bit in garbage time.
And then there were people who were saying, oh, you know, the Packers really overachieved last year, and you know, they'll be lucky to finish 8-8. They're definitely turning some heads right now. Maybe the competition hasn't been the most stellar, but they're really hitting on all cylinders.
But you know, I remember Aaron Rodgers saying in an interview a couple years ago that if you want to be a contender in the playoffs, you have to win your division. And since Mike LaFleur started, we have won our division.
Yes. It's only 1 year, but yes, that was good.
Well, it's 1 year and one third of the next year. So we're doing pretty good. 8-0 in the division since LaFleur has taken over.
8-0. Excellent.
So let's kick into this. Aaron Jones, last week in my Hot Pockets, I tried
Aaron
to make a
Jones.
Point that Devontae Adams has become a transcendental talent at wide receiver. He's become the type of freakish player that is kind of a man among boys right now. Aaron Jones may just be starting to hit that level of play on the field as well.
Yeah, I think the addition of using him as a receiver, in addition to a running back, is what's going to bring him to that level. I mean, you know, he's now approaching Alvin Kamara type status, you know, where he's a multiple threat. And in today's NFL, that's what it's all about. Nobody wants, you know, single talent players. They want players that can do a lot of different things. And Aaron Jones is definitely off to a great start in that department.
Yeah, I was really impressed. He ran for 168 yards, which I remember a couple of years ago, if we had a running back that would hit 100 yards, it was a good day. And he had a phenomenal day. And what was really impressive was he was so quick to switch gears. When Devontae Adams went down, he became the favorite target in the air, too. Yeah, he's definitely the complete package. And just pay the man, people. Come on.
They got a lot of people to pay, so that's the hard part. But
and it's too bad because running backs just get the shaft on those second contracts because we know the shelf life of a running back is, what, 4 or 5 years if you're lucky. And yet we really have found a diamond in the rough, and you know, this is a guy who may well be a transcendental player next year. We may not just have him on the Packers.
And that is going to royally suck if that happens, but...
And those are moments where I wonder if Rodgers would ever renegotiate this obscene contract he has to keep his talent around him. He obviously has chemistry with the receivers, but he really does with Jones. He trusts Jones to run the route just like a receiver, and he usually produces.
Yeah, he made an incredible catch on that one play down the sideline and basically out-jumped a defensive back and pulled in that pass with the defender all over him. So that was impressive. He's the real deal.
And he's a real deal in the sense that, you know, he's doing Lambeau leaps in an empty stadium. He's wearing his Randy Macho Man Savage sunglasses on sidelines. I mean, this guy's enjoying himself. He's enjoying playing. He's Packer people. We love rooting for him.
And great Snickers gave him some major bling today, too.
Oh, is that right? What happened?
I'm pulling it up right now. I'm forgetting what it says, but it's a Snickers bar necklace that he can wear to match with his Randy Macho Man Savage glasses. He just has swagger right now that's fun. It isn't obnoxious, but it's just fun because you can't get the fans hyped up in the stadium, but he's doing it in other ways.
Well, speaking of hyped up, the law firm of Smith, Smith, and Gary. Last year, we just had Smith and Smith, the Smith brothers. But now we have a three-headed Gorgon that is wreaking havoc along the defensive front.
Yeah, we have a new partner in the law firm.
You have to be patient with rookies. I always...
What?
Yes! Come on! He was a rookie last year. Everyone's like, he's terrible. We don't even know where he is on the field.
Oh, come on.
He was a rookie.
He was a high draft pick. Come on. You got to get a producer when you're a high draft pick.
If you are a team that is relying on your draft picks to become instant contributors every year... You are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Jacksonville Jaguars or, you know,
the Browns with a quarterback.
Exactly. I mean, that's not what the draft is supposed to be. The draft is supposed to be investments in your future, not, you know, if you want instant contributors, yeah, then you dip into free agency. But the idea that we're so hard on Rashawn, and of course, a lot of people were upset because they felt he was a reach at 12, whatever. The guy has essentially put the pressure in the face of the quarterback, causing both interceptions so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, his effort level has been incredible. He's all over the field. And, you know, a couple of times that's hurt him because he's overrun plays, just being too aggressive. But that's something that you'll learn. You know, you'll learn when to dial it down a little bit and change your angle, you know, to get to the quarterback differently. But hey, for a guy who didn't play a lot last year and now is getting some regular snaps in only his second season, the future looks bright. He may need to borrow some of those shades from Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I've been impressed with Ferocity this year. He's definitely crashing to the line.
He wants it.
Yeah, he's hungry. He's definitely hungry. And I think he heard people saying, oh, you're no good. You're a rookie. But come on, this is football, not kickball. Kickball, you pick to play right then and there. Like you said, football drafts an investment. And I think it's really starting to pay off. And with Kenny Clark being out, we need other people stepping up on the defensive line. And I think we're seeing it with Gary. I'm really impressed with the growth since last year.
No doubt.
Well, a player who has struggled a little bit in his growth from last year would be a guy we've all been really, really high on, and that, of course, is Jay Sternberger. The idea that Matt LaFleur has an offense that brings this, and of course, it's a phrase that we've really liked, the illusion of complexity. It's possible that it's too complex for Jace at this point because just two really big. And I guess we'd say easy catches. I mean, they bounced off his hands. These weren't difficult catches. I mean, I kind of got on Devontae Adams, or no, not Devontae, MVS in the end zone when he kind of mistimed that jump and leap and didn't quite get that catch. And we're like, yeah, that was a tough one. It was up high. He could have timed that. These hit Jay Sternberger right in his mitts.
Nobody near him.
No challenge. Obviously, it's too late to give up on him. We don't want to Rashawn Gary him or anything like that. But are you guys concerned?
just one game. You know, it's just one game. He's shown that he can catch in the past. He actually had a little fun with it on Twitter. I think he tweeted something like, geez, you think I was building a house, and then with a couple like emojis of bricks, you know, like brick hands, you know. So, you know, he gets it, I guess. Hopefully he'll just get past that and learn his lesson, and next time he'll worry about making the catch first before running. Yeah, it's the same thing MVS did last week, you know, and he had that one pass where he saw all the open grass behind him, so he started running before he caught the ball. So those are young player mistakes. They'll get over it, hopefully.
And hopefully these are teachable moments for him. At least he can shake it off and laugh at it. But I hope he learns from it, because it's really obvious that LaFleur wants to include the tight ends in the offense. And this is something where often kind of vanished with the McCarthy offensive schemes. But I was looking at the game on Sunday, and they were throwing to Sternberger. They were throwing to Big Bob, and even Mercedes Lewis got a couple of catches in the game. So
right.
I'm hopeful that it's just a hiccup and he gets over it, because I would love to see the diversity of our offense when you have to decide who you're going to cover. You're going to cover the rock star receiver like Adams, or are you going to have to put coverage on a tight end because they're really reliable?
Yeah, the really annoying thing about it to me was not so much that he dropped the pass, but he ruined just an absolutely beautifully designed play. I put the clip of it up on a post on Cheesehead TV. I did like a three plays that I found interesting. And you just look at the design of this play and everything went up that was going on in that play, and how perfect everything went until the ball hit his hands. You know, it was just an incredibly well-designed play. You should really check that out.
So speaking of those well-designed plays, I have a theory. My theory is, because we've really watched this wonderful ability of Matt LaFleur to scheme open these receivers. Usually they're in that bunch formation, that trips formation, and just the way they're running those routes, one of those three is just sitting wide open. And Aaron Rodgers is able to sit back in the pocket 2, 3, 4 seconds, get the ball out and complete the pass. So my theory is this: you're not seeing Aaron Rodgers audible out of every play anymore, because he finally has an offense he believes in and doesn't need to audible out of.
I don't think that's so much a theory as the facts.
It's a reality, CD.
It seems pretty obvious. So I don't think we can give you credit for coming up with, like, you know, some fantastically tremendous theory here. However, you know, we'll give you kudos for pointing it out. We'll give you some credit. But
let's go back in time, though, and talk about what we used to talk about 4 years ago, which was, Aaron Rodgers, just run the play that Mike McCarthy sends in to you. Just do it. And we put it on Rodgers. We kept saying, why is he doing this? He just wants to hike the ball and run around and wait for somebody to get open, play backyard football.
Because the plays sucked.
They were stale and predictable. That's the wonderful thing about Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, stop calling him Mike, please.
I keep
wanting
to call him Mike, Matt, you know. One of them. Yes, I am cheering for the Cowboys to lose. Thanks for asking. But the one thing about LaFleur, though, is he has diversified the offense, and it does play to Rodgers' strengths. And one of the things that I really noticed, and granted, it's only two games, but last year, the offense struggled to get open. The receivers are not having that problem so far. And that's where Rodgers really can shine. He isn't panicking. He isn't trying to go for plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. Just throw it up and hope somebody catches it. The plays are clean. It isn't as spontaneous. But it's diverse enough that the defense can't predict it. McCarthy was stale and predicted, and that's why Rodgers was going all audible. LaFleur has some tricks up his sleeve.
Yeah, and the receiver routes are not just running 15 yards downfield and turning around. Four guys doing that, which we saw so much of that with McCarthy during those years where, you know, why can't anybody get open? We went through a couple of years like that with McCarthy and Rodgers and trying to figure out who it is. And when you went back and looked at it and looked at the film, you saw four receivers basically running straight down the field, 15, 20 yards and turning around on third and three.
And that when that play would transpire, it would be, let's get it to Davante Adams. Let's see if he can run the furthest. Now you have receivers that are getting open, but you also have tight ends that can catch, and you have Aaron Jones, who's also a deep threat. So suddenly the defense has to decide who they're going to throw all their money at and charge at.
Kelly, it's the illusion of complexity.
That is actually it. It's a simple, you know, they're not like razzle dazzle plays. They're simple, but it's like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do? They're not Mike McCarthy. It's not a draw play on third down.
Right.
And what is better for Aaron Rodgers to have a relationship built up with Matt LaFleur? It's not just them respecting each other in the locker room. It's the fact that Aaron Rodgers can go out and run this offense, believe in it, trust in it, and that is the reason why these guys are hashtag, you know, friend goals. They really are, because they believe in each other, his ability, and Matt Fleur's ability to scheme him to look as good as he has.
Now, if they could only break the habit of the stupid timeouts. And that's where I saw Rodgers get a little mad, and it's understandable. We're getting better, but hey, visualize having timeouts heading into the two-minute warning. Is that all too much to ask for?
Well, I suppose one of the things that would be even worse is an offense without Davante Adams. It was announced today. Davante is unsure if he's going to play in the Sunday night game against the Saints. That's a little rough.
Yes.
It looked like they did well without him against the Lions, but the Saints
That's
are
the Lions.
Sorry.
And it wasn't the whole game either.
Right. I mean, keep in mind that they did lose Davante Adams for a few games last year, and everybody else stepped up, and they did pretty well in those games. So it's not the end of the world. I don't think he's going to play. I think they will be cautious because, you know, with a hamstring, it's while it's mild now, you know, you just pull it a little bit more during a game, and now suddenly you're out for four or five games, and I don't think it's worth it, you know. So I think you're going to see more illusion of complexity without Davante, and you know, I think the offense will be fine. So we'll see Sunday night.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you have to rely on everyone else then. Which then I think makes us a little more unpredictable, because everybody knows Adams is his prime target. But now, and I'm kind of glad it was announced halfway through the week of, hey, he's questionable. Because now the Saints have to game plan possibly without Adams there.
Yeah, and I think we're kind of, all of us are kind of overdoing the oh my God, Davante Adams, you know, how can we survive without him?
We have, because, that's the
because,
thing.
Well, no, but because of the first game, right? Because you have a guy who goes out and catches 14 passes, and I think everybody gets into that mode, like, oh my God, he's the whole offense. But he is not the whole offense. He's a piece in the offense. He's a great piece, but they have enough other people to fill in to make up for missing one piece. You know, that's the whole NFL. That's the way things are done, so... I think we're tending to overstate the fact because of that first game that he had.
And I am happy with what they're doing with Kenny Clark and what they might do with Davante. You know, this is a marathon, and we want these players healthy, you know, come playoff time. So I'm happy with them being conservative, setting them out and not forcing them into play. You know, these games, yeah, they're important, but yeah, we want these guys on the stretch run.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the bye week's like stupid early, like week five, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think after, yeah, week five, I believe.
So what I think they're also taking their gamble on, let's get you better for after the bye week, because we already have two divisional games out of the way.
Right.
And we're week three. And if you're out 2 weeks, you might as well make it 3 weeks. And then you can have somebody that's really healed up. So if he doesn't play this week, I would not be surprised if he doesn't play next week, because then he gets a bonus week to heal during the bye week.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Kenny Clark, because then you're healthy for the three-fourths of the season that's left, as opposed to nursing a half-assed healing injury the entire season.
Yeah. We play the Saints, then the Falcons, and then week five we do have that bye. So come back and... geez, middle of October again, and then we'll play Tampa Bay. So that might be the time we see some of these players coming back. And it's going to be a long 3/4 of the season, though, without that break. We may wish we had that a little bit later.
So that, yeah. I think, all the more reason to factor that into healing time for injury.
It's early in the season. Play it safe. Right.
Exactly.
And it sounds like we have a guest at the door. I guess it's time for our special guest.
Cheesehead Radio. Special guest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio is our favorite Packers multimedia reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JS Online, and PackersNews.com, Olivia Reiner. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Anytime. Favorite's such a kind and strong word. I appreciate that.
We all took a vote prior to you coming on the show, so you won. All right, so hey, first question. Let's get right into this. First question has to be the tremendous performance of Aaron Jones, who's really blossomed into this transcendental player. I mean, when Devontae went out, he was like both the best running back and the best wide receiver on the field. So talk to us a little about what you're seeing in him this year, and I guess maybe how those rumors of contract talks are echoing around his locker and then maybe also around the front office.
Yeah, Aaron Jones has had quite the, at least the past game, the past two games have been pretty strong for him. And listen, this football has been played for a very long time in this country. And when you can break records like he did in this past game, career high 236 yards from scrimmage, I was looking through the Packers send out some stats and information after the game, and it says that this was the third most in a game in team history behind Billy Houghton, who had 257 yards on October 21st, 1956. So if you're breaking records from many, many, many years ago, I think that makes you a pretty good player. And I'd say pretty good is probably an understatement when it comes to Aaron Jones. At this point, it feels like the contract is imminent. His agent has been in talks with the Packers. And if Aaron Jones is aware of those conversations, it means that they're happening. It's just a matter of exactly when that's going to get done. Is it going to happen this season? Is it going to happen after the season? The longer the Packers wait, the more likely it is that either A, Aaron Jones will continue to have success and then he'll demand more money, or there's a chance that he'll get injured. And then the Packers will say, well, no, we don't want to pay you because you're injured and you're injury prone. And we know that Aaron Jones has dealt with injuries in the past, last season being an exception. So it could kind of go either way the longer they wait. So for both of them, right, for at least for Aaron Jones right now, he probably would like to get this deal done as soon as possible because he's healthy and he's playing well. If you're the Packers, maybe you want to wait, but also maybe you want to do right by your running back. And honestly, I think he's deserving of an extension especially after this past game.
All right. Thanks. Kelly.
All right, I've got a question, and it's kind of pertinent to what happened this past week. The Saints have proved that they have a weak spot when it comes to covering a tight end. Maybe it's their Achilles heel we need to exploit. After all, Darren Waller tore him up for 12 receptions and 103 yards. That's Devontae Adams on a good day. We have so many tight ends right now, so attacking this weakness seems like a no-brainer. Do you see the Packers being able to exploit this type of weakness? And more importantly, and let's forget about the drop passes this past week, do you think we have anyone that could rise to the occasion and have a Waller-type game, or do you think the Pack is just going to use that chink in the armor to draw coverage away from our receivers?
That's a great question. You know, something that I was thinking about as I was watching the game between the Saints and the Raiders last night. I mean, I think Matt LaFleur, if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm like, poking my head in general manager Brian Gutekunst's office being like, hey, can we have a Darren Waller, please? I think one of those would be great for this offense. But the fact of the matter is the Packers, yes, they have a lot of tight ends and they have tight ends that do a lot of things. Some of them do certain things better than others, but they don't have a Darren Waller, period. Someone who's that complete just in one total package. So that's not to say that head coach Matt LaFleur can't find creative ways to use his tight ends, and I suspect that he would. I don't know how many times the Raiders used multiple tight end sets on the field last night. It's possible. I think they seem to do it quite a bit, and we know Matt LaFleur likes to utilize multiple tight ends on the field as well. I could see him trying to work that in, especially if the Packers have a healthy Josiah DeGuara come Sunday's game. Certainly possible he did not practice most of last week. However, he did practice early in the week. Not a great sign that He was sort of on a downward trajectory as the week went on, but we'll see tomorrow if he returns to practice in any sort of capacity whatsoever. But yeah, no, it's a good question. I would imagine that he'll certainly try to get Robert Tonyan involved in the passing game as he did this past week. Even Jay Sternberger, but as you mentioned, he did have some of the issues with the drops, and hopefully for them, they'll be able to iron some of that out in practice this week and get ready for this Sunday.
Okay, thanks. CD, do you have another question?
Oh, sure. So Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, they're getting all of this talk about contract extensions, and Corey Linsley, he has just quietly been lights out along that offensive line this season. Talk to us a little bit about this offensive line, which I think we're all concerned about going into week one, and yet it's kept Aaron Rodgers not only upright and safe, he's had a great season with all the protection he's been getting.
It's been really remarkable what the offensive line has been able to put together through two games so far, especially given the fact there have been so many injuries, attrition, moving around throughout the offensive line, putting bodies in different places, Elgton Jenkins starting at right tackle against the Minnesota Vikings, and then, oh no, just kidding, you need to go back to left guard because now we're dealing with injuries with Lane Taylor and Lucas Patrick, and it was just a whole lot of stuff going on in these past two games along the offensive line. Corey Linsley has performed really well through two games. Packers, as an offensive line, have only given up one sack, and I believe it looked like that was on Lucas Patrick. Going back and watching that yesterday. But yeah, Corey Linsley, it certainly seems like he's making a name for himself. Not that he hasn't been, but it's among the Packers players that are eligible for contract extensions that will become free agents in 2021. It's just tough. There's a long list of players that I'm sure Packers fans would love to see stick around, not just left tackle David Bakhtiari and running back Aaron Jones, as you mentioned, Corey Linsley, cornerback Kevin Kings, also up for an extension, running back Jamal Williams. It's a long list, and they're not going to be able to extend everyone, especially given the fact that the cap is going to be lower than anticipated next season, $175 million at least. It could be a little bit more with depending on how the revenue goes this year, and then also the Packers will likely roll over some cap that they had this year to next year as well. So there's a lot of moving parts, but the offensive line has been really impressive, especially given the fact that Billy Turner, their starting right tackle, has been out. Their starting right guard, Lane Taylor's on IR officially. It's been a remarkable what they've been able to put together so far.
All right, thank you. Kelly.
Okay, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about the defense. Rashawn Gary just keeps proving his critics wrong in his sophomore season. And by critics, I mean some of us on the show. And he's making big plays and is now responsible for pressures leading to both Packer interceptions this year. Za'Darius Smith is making more downs as a defensive tackle to keep Gary on the field. Talk to us about how Gary and the Smith brothers are working together, and where do you think this defense is evolving?
Yeah, Rashawn Gary has really had a strong couple of games these past two games. They're using him on the field with both Preston and Za'Darius Smith in certain looks, depending on the offense that they're presented. It's exciting to see. I think last season, I don't know, I look at my Twitter mentions, and as we do a live show over on PackersNews.com, and there's a lot of like, Rashawn Gary is going to be a bust. Which, listen, I understand the internet, I understand social media, people want instant gratification this day and age, but it things like this take time, and judging a draft class takes a few years. I think we can start to look back at 2017, even maybe certain players from 2018, and be a little bit critical of those selections. However, I would say Rashawn Gary, it's, you know, pump the brakes a little, at least last season. This season, though, you're right, he had a lot more to prove coming off of a season where he was the fourth outside linebacker on the depth chart behind both of the Smith brothers, quote-unquote, Za'Darius and Preston Smith, and Kyler Fackrell. So Fackrell's departure really allowed Rashawn Gary to get on the field a little bit more this season. And he's done a really, you know, it's been cool to see so far. Even Za'Darius Smith's sack yesterday, Rashawn Gary helped put a lot of pressure. Him and Dean Lowry helped put some pressure on the quarterback and allowed for Zadarius to get that sack on Stafford. So he's getting those quarterback hits, which I think outside linebackers coach Mike Smith would say is more important than just the pure sack numbers. So yeah, he has a lot to be proud of this room so far.
Okay, thanks.
Olivia, Aaron Rodgers did an interview earlier today and spoke about his outlook on the game and life. Now, he's 37 years old, and his quotes are he's looking at life through a positive lens and has a new and increased love of life. I don't ever imagine hearing Tom Brady talk like this. So talk to us a little bit maybe about just the evolution you've seen in Aaron Rodgers, maybe going back over the past few seasons from 2018 and the Mike McCarthy being fired to LaFleur and coming into this year. What's happened to him?
That's tough for me to say. I don't know. I don't know his life, but I came in 2018. That was when I started covering the team. I started week 7 of the regular season, so I wasn't around for too many Mike McCarthy games. And honestly, in 2018, just the vibe of the locker room, it was kind of the norm to me. So I didn't really realize that things maybe players weren't so happy with how things were going. A lot of it went over my head until the next season and kind of talking to colleagues, looking back on the past season, they were like, yeah, this isn't really how players are, right? Or in the locker room, you know, usually it's a little bit happier. Guys are a little bit more upbeat when they're winning. So, yeah, I don't know. But you're certainly right. It seems like he's enjoying himself. At least, I don't know. It seems like he's talking about how much happier he is. I don't know why that is. Like I said, I have no clue. But he seems to be enjoying himself. They're good words to live by. He's talked about, I don't know, finding ways to love himself more. He was speaking about this with the media a couple weeks ago, too. So that's great. Good for him. But yeah, honestly, I don't know why. I think he seems to have like a strong relationship with his head coach right now, which is, you know, good for their relationship, good for the team. Got good relationship with the quarterbacks in his room. So it's seems like he's enjoying himself, as he said so.
So the Packers are 2-0, and they're now 8-0 against NFC North teams under the Fleur regime. The Packers head down to New Orleans this Sunday night to take on Drew Brees and the Saints. But if there is a soft spot on this team that the Saints could exploit more than the Vikings or the Lions could, where do you see it?
Oh, man. I mean, Alvin Kamara is in an Aaron Jones type of pedigree, caliber, whatever you want to call it. He's really good. He's good in both the run and in the pass. And I think defending him might be a challenge for the Packers. They fared much better against the run this past week. It seemed like early on in the game, they were having a little bit of a hard time. The defensive line was getting knocked around a little bit without Kenny Clark out there. But I think they were able to figure it out. I think the outside linebackers group came in and helped out and kind of were used on the defensive line. Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Zadarius Smith, all helping create pressure on the quarterback and also helping out in the run game as well. I'm curious to see exactly how they're able to address Alvin Kamara. When he splits out wide as a receiver, who is going to be covering him? You know, how the defensive line holds up without Kenny Clark, potentially. It's going to be a big question to see if he's healthy enough to go this week. So I'm curious to see how they're going to handle Kamara come this Sunday.
And that's going to be definitely the $64,000 question. Thanks.
Olivia, do you have a prediction for this week?
Not yet. I'm not sure yet. I usually wait till Friday because that's when I have to submit my prediction. And I forget what I said. I made like a beginning of the season prediction for the Packers. I said that the team would finish 11-5, and I forget which five I think I thought that they were going to lose. This might be one of the ones that I thought they were going to lose. However, that being said, depending on who's active, who's inactive, I think that will sway my opinion and my decision. As of Tuesday right now, I can't confidently make that call right now. But I do think the Packers have an advantage going down there without fans. I think had they been going down to a loud Superdome full of fans, I think that might have been a bit more of a challenge. But I think they are getting a little bit of a break not having to put up with that. But I think I'm anticipating a competitive game.
So another crystal ball question. Where do you think Kenny Clark is right now?
I think he'll be back soon. I don't know if he'll be ready to go this week. It's usually a good sign when players are at practice and they're not, although they might not be practicing, they're still on the sidelines and they're doing rehab, they're stretching, they're not out of sight, out of mind. So that's good news. So this past week, Kenny Clark was present at practice. He was not practicing. He was stretching and doing rehab. So that would lead me to believe that he's getting somewhere. He's not too far out. But I'm not confident that he would be back this week.
All right. Olivia, I just want to say a huge thank you for stopping by the studio today. Olivia Reiner can be found on Twitter. It's at Reiner Olivia, R-E-I-N-E-R. And Olivia, you probably know how to spell. So please, if you're not following her already on Twitter, please get on the tweeter right now. Give her a follow. Olivia, thank you once again. Great hearing your voice and your deep thoughts. Obviously, you have a great touch with the team, and we appreciate the time that you're giving us.
You're welcome. Have a good night, both of you.
All right.
Thanks
thank
for coming.
Thank you very much.
All right, we've reached the point in the show where each of us get a final moment to get up on our soapbox and read you all the riot act of whatever is going on inside our heads. This is our Hot Pockets. Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
All right, so after last year's season opening win against the Bears, Aaron Rodgers excitedly proclaimed, "We have a defense." Now, although he hasn't made any proclamations thus far, this year's version could very well be, "We have an offense." It's more obvious than ever now that the Packers' offense in 2019 was an amalgamation of old concepts with some new wrinkles thrown in. This year, the Packers have gone full Matt LaFleur in play design and calling, and thank goodness, Rodgers appears to be fully on board. It's no longer easy to predict what play is coming when the Packers line up, a favorite fan game of the last several years. Folks, the illusion of complexity is for real. And that is my Hot
Pockets. The NFL continues to set viewing records, with over 50 million viewers tuning into this week's Monday Night Football, a 26% increase in viewership over the Week 2 Monday Night Football last season. Apparently, the reports of the death of the National Football League have been exaggerated, and those who have claimed to boycott it aren't having quite the impact that they thought they would. It does make you reflect on the beauty of the NFL football season in general. Now, both the NBA and Major League Baseball, hockey, play continuously, 5-6 games a week. You can miss a game or two, or if you're like me, you can miss a game or 60, and really not lose much. But the NFL is a soap opera every weekend, everything boiling down to this big matchup, 60 minutes, 11-on-11. Heck, fantasy sports started with baseball, with stats nerds, but it took off with the NFL. My point, you can't look away from the NFL if you tried. It's too ingrained into our national consciousness and is in no danger of being quote-unquote canceled. It really makes you wonder, is cancel culture real or just something you threaten behind a computer screen? The Nielsen ratings would suggest that the latter is true. And that is my Hot
Pockets. Week 3, and it's the first true test of the season. We know that Matt LaFleur has figured out how to win against the NFC North rivals. In fact, they haven't lost since he started. Sure, it's only been a season and a handful of games, but I'll take it. But things get real this week. The Saints are their first challenge that they must defeat if they want to be considered in rarefied air in 2020. You're going to have to stop the run, and that's something the Packers' defense sometimes struggles with. And Rodgers may have to play without his favorite receiver as Davante Adams continues to heal. And of course, the first primetime Packer game coincides with my satellite service taking a dive, and I somehow don't have the local. NBC affiliate. Figures, it lines up with 2020's never-ending parade of suck. But whether I'm watching it on my TV or my itty-bitty phone screen, I want to see the Packers rise to the occasion. I want to see them play clean ball on both sides of the line of scrimmage. That was their biggest weakness last year. The D or the offense would forget to show up in a game, and then things would go pear-shaped. 60 minutes of flawless football. Is that too much to ask this early in the season? And that is my
Hot Pockets
Cheesehead Radio Packer Game Predictions.
All right, the Green Bay Packers kick off their primetime schedule this upcoming Sunday night with a matchup against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. The Saints are an early 4.5-point favorite, but do we really think it's going to end up like that? Here's our picks, starting with Kelly.
The first 2 weeks were a warm-up, like I said before, but this is for real this weekend. Saints have a stout running game, and Drew Brees is okay. Now, the Packers aren't perfect, but if they play a solid game, there's a chance they could win. However, at the end of the day, I think this one is one of the losses that they're going to endure this year. I know I hate to say it, and I hate to be like CD, but Saints 31, Packers 24.
Oh, don't be like CD.
I don't want to curse them.
I can't believe you would do that.
Oh, my God.
Look at down.
CD, what are your predictions?
Well, the Packers haven't seen many holes in their game. Let's be honest. You're not going to see a whole lot of holes when you're playing the Vikings and the Lions. They aren't top-tier competition. And even after their loss to the lowly Raiders, the Saints may not really be the toppest-tierest competition either. But they do represent a step up for the Packers and do represent a test for Matt LaFleur's offense as well as the stoutness of our defense. In the end, I am very tempted, like Kelly, to pick against the Packers, but I have a feeling that Sunday night is going to be a good night. Packers 35, Saints 31.
I got a feeling that Sunday night's going to be a good night. Okay, so now it gets real, right? Don't let the Saints' loss to the Raiders fool you. They're still a somewhat dangerous team, although their offense is not what it once was. Personally, I can't understand why they don't give the ball to Alvin Kamara more than they do, but I expect that to change this week. Meanwhile, their pass rush will be the first real test for the Packers' offensive line, who we're all giving plaudits to. If Rodgers can continue to be as efficient as he has, they can put up another 30 points or more in this game, and I think they will. Green Bay 33, Saints 27.
So I'm the bad guy this week.
Yes.
Very much so.
Maybe I'm superstitious.
You wear the crown.
All right. And if I'm wrong, I will admit it next week.
Well, don't worry. If you're wrong, we won't let you forget.
Oh, I'll never hear the end of it if I'm wrong.
Do not worry. No concern there.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our 11th season. A special thanks goes out to Olivia Reiner for joining us tonight on the show, and we wish you the best of luck this season, Olivia. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcatching app. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Keep the Saints.
Go Pack Go.
Cheesehead Radio.